Welcome to Island Baptist Church. Joe's lesson today is in John chapter 20, titled, The Tomb is Empty.
Well, church, good morning. What a joy it is to be here this morning on Resurrection Sunday. And this morning, I want to invite you guys to open up your Bibles to the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 20, and we'll be reading the first 18 verses, 1 through 18. I've got the New Living Translation, so if you got something different, that is quite all right. If you've got a hard copy of the Bible, John chapter 20. If you've got a digital copy, that's quite all right. And once you are there, we're going to ask if you are able to stand in reverence as we read the word of the Lord together this morning. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. And the word of the Lord reads such: Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple started out to the tomb. They were both running, and the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Verse 5, he stooped, looked in, and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Verse 8, then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Verse 11, Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head, the other sitting at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she did not recognize him. Verse 15, "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was a gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. The word of the Lord. You guys may be seated. You know, there's so much that takes place in this story here, in these 18 verses that we just read out of John chapter 20. And it's almost impossible to sit here and unpack everything. So we're just going to go, I'm going to give you the cliff notes or the highlights of what is going on here. And what I want to focus on this morning are several of the firsts that take place here on this Sunday morning 2,000 years ago. The first thing that we notice is that it is the first day of the week. Some of your translations may say that on the first day of the week. Some may say on Sunday morning, but that is what it is. It's the first day of the week. It's Sunday morning. And the first one to arrive at the tomb is Mary Magdalene. Now, John, as we mentioned in our introduction to the Gospel of John a couple of months ago when we started, we said that John focuses in on a lot of different things. And here he focuses in on Mary Magdalene. But we know that if we have read the other Gospels when it comes to Resurrection Sunday morning, that there were other women that were with Mary Magdalene that had gone to finish this embalming process. But Mary Magdalene was there, and she saw that the stone had been moved. So she went to tell Peter and John that the stone had been moved and that Jesus' body was not there, that they had taken Jesus' body. Now, we don't know a lot about Mary Magdalene. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot about her. But what we do learn from Mark 16 and Luke chapter 8 is that Jesus healed her from 7 demons. And I have to believe, or we have to believe, that this may have led to her devotion to Jesus. This had to help lead her to her willingness to want to serve Jesus this Sunday morning. She came to the tomb to complete the embalming process. We know that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea had begun the process on Friday, but because it was getting late in the day and it was an observation of the Sabbath, they probably had to stop and just put him in the tomb. And she probably recognized that this wasn't sufficient, so she wanted to go and complete it. She wanted to serve her Lord in this manner. John and Peter get the news from Mary Magdalene that the tomb was open, that the stone had been rolled away, that there was no one in there, and that they had taken his body. Not that Jesus was resurrected, but that they had taken his body. So they had to take off and see for themselves. You know, they didn't call 911. They didn't alert the authorities. They did nothing like that. They just needed to go see for themselves, so they took off. And guess who is the first disciple to arrive at the scene? The other disciple is what the Bible tells us, verses 3 and 4. Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Here's another one of these first in this story. John gets there first. Remember, we had talked about that John refers to himself as the one whom Jesus loved throughout this gospel. And John, being the humble disciple that he is, did not mention, "I outran the old man," or I got wheels. You know, he didn't say nothing like that. But he does humbly let us know that he got there first. He's the first to arrive, or the first of the disciples to arrive on the scene. We also know from Christian tradition, Christian history, that John is believed to be the youngest, that we believe that he was still a teenager when he was asked to come and follow Jesus. Now, we're not sure why John did not go in, even though he got there first. It just says that he stooped, put his face there, and looked in. He saw what the grave clothes there, but he did not go in. But Peter does. Peter gets there, and it's almost as if Peter's there huffing and puffing, gets there, and he goes, "Hasta un lado, escuincle." You know, for those of you guys that don't speak Spanish, he's like, "Move over, chump. I'm going in," you know. So he goes in, and he too sees. And he sees the grave linens there as well. John pops his head in, but Peter goes in. And as soon as Peter goes in, John follows. And he too goes in. Let's look at what the Bible says about that scene right there. It says that he, that is John, stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. When John first gets there, he just stoops his head, he puts his face there, and looks in. When we read this in the original language, what this gives us an understanding is that John saw clearly what was lying there, and that is the grave clothes, the linen wrappings. That's what he saw. But then when Peter gets there, Peter jumps in, goes in, and he noticed. And the Greek understanding, or the Greek writing, when we read it in the original language, is that Peter goes in there with a critical eye. He's like, something is different here. Doesn't have a grasp of what exactly it is that's in front of him. He sees the linen clothes, but he does not know what exactly is transpiring. But then John follows Peter and goes in, and the Greek word that used there gives us an understanding of he understood, he believed. So three different points of view as we read this scene right here. John saw, John believed, and John understood. He didn't know before what was going on because, of course, as we read here, they didn't understand what was going on, what Jesus was sharing with them. If you guys remember several weeks ago when we talked about Jesus and the temple, and when he was talking to the religious leaders and he said, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I'm going to resurrect it, or I'm going to bring it back up." This is exactly what he's talking about. Is that he is going to raise the temple. They were understanding, but now John understood. And it's funny that John was the first to understand, that John was the first to know that Jesus had risen. Not that the body was gone, not that the tomb was empty, but that Jesus had risen, that Jesus was alive. It's funny how humble John is, right? He tells us he's the first in the foot race to get to the tomb, but he's also the first in the faith race to understand what exactly has just transpired in front of him. John understood the fact of the resurrection before he understood the meaning of the resurrection. And so many people came to faith right after this because they saw the resurrected Jesus. Because we need to understand that there is a fact that Jesus resurrected and that there is a meaning that Jesus resurrected. And we need to understand and believe both, because whether or not you believe it happened or not, it happened. You know, there are so many things in our world today that are truth, that have happened, that we just don't want to accept, that we just don't want to believe. You know, one of them is that the world is flat. I'm just kidding. I wanted to see if you guys were still awake, because some of you guys are just kind of staring at me as if like, what is he talking about? I'm just kidding about that one. I just wanted to see if you guys are awake. But the tomb is empty. Jesus is no longer there because he is resurrected. He is alive. This is the truth. This happened whether you want to believe it or not. And you ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. You know, as many Christians like to say that, we all like to say as believers in Jesus, as followers of Jesus, that he lives in our heart. And I hope that he lives in each and every one of your hearts that is sitting here in Island Baptist Church this morning. And if you're watching online, I hope too that he lives inside your heart. But whether or not he does, Jesus is alive. Jesus rose from the dead, and that is a fact. So what does all that mean? What does this mean? Just because it happened doesn't mean that it's important to me. That's what some people are thinking. But the resurrection is everything. Let me tell you what it means. The first thing that it means is that Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus is God. Let me tell you, if you can raise yourself from the dead and you have proof to show, then guess what? You must be God. And that's exactly what Jesus is. Jesus raised himself from the dead. Remember last week when we talked about Palm Sunday and we talked about that meal over in Bethany and they had brought Lazarus out of the grave? I said, you know, when I read that, it's almost like a precursor, because it's a week before the actual event. And I'm like, this is almost like a precursor to what's going to happen 7 days later. You see, Jesus said, he showed us this is what exactly he was going to make happen. And Jesus talks the talk and he walks the walk. And whenever Jesus says something's going to happen, guess what? It's going to happen, exactly. Another thing about the resurrection, it means that his people will rise from the dead as well. Now, notice how I said this. His people will rise and go to heaven. Those who believe and put their trust in him, not everyone. You know, one of the things that I see at funerals all the time is people coming up to the dead body and saying, we'll see each other again. You know, we're going to meet again. Sadly, it's not going to be in heaven. Unfortunately, it's not going to be in heaven for a lot of people. Just because you say it doesn't make it true. You see, John tells us later on in chapter 20, and the very last verse of this chapter, he says, but these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. You may have eternal life. And that Greek word that John uses for believe is one of continuation. It means that you believe today, you believe right now, you believe again 30 seconds from now. When you leave here, you're going to believe. Tomorrow, you're going to believe. It's never going to leave your mind. It's never going to be a doubt. You will always believe in his name. Therefore, you will have eternal life. And we can be assured this because Jesus rose from the dead, that we too will rise from the dead, and that we do not need to fear death, because the last breath that we take on this earth, the next breath is going to be taken in the presence of God. The resurrection also means that God's power is on full display. You see, Jesus dying on the cross is the ultimate display of his love. The Bible tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the love that he has for each and every one of us, that he was willing to give up his life for us. He was willing to shed his blood on the cross so that our sins could be covered, so that they could become white as snow. And the resurrection is the ultimate power of its display. Let me repeat that. The resurrection, the empty tomb, is the ultimate display of his power. And then Mary is outside the tomb, and she's weeping, she's crying, and she looks inside, and the angels are looking at her. And I've said this to you guys a lot, and those of you guys that are regular attenders here have heard this before, but there's a lot of areas in the Bible where I begin to scratch my head, and I'm like, I don't really understand. And it's not that I don't really understand, it's just kind of weird that some things don't happen the way I expect them to happen. But every time angels appear before humans, what are the first things that they say? Fear not, do not be afraid. But this doesn't happen here. I'm like, wait a minute, how come they're not telling her, fear not? I don't know, maybe it's because, you know, she was sobbing, she was crying, and I don't know about you guys, but after a good cry, you still can't see straight, your eyes are still blurry, so maybe she didn't recognize that she was talking to angels. I have no idea. But nonetheless, it didn't happen. She looks in, and the angels ask her, dear woman, why are you crying? And she responds, because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him. And then she turned, and again, her eyes are still probably crying. She probably still can't see straight because she sees someone standing there but doesn't recognize that it's Jesus. And Jesus asked her, dear woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? And of course, as the word tells us, she thought it was the gardener. Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go get him. And then Jesus calls her by name. He says, Mary. And as soon as Jesus says Mary, she realizes who she is talking to. She knows that it is her Lord. And she cries out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. And then she goes and just clings on him. She goes and gives him a big old bear hug. And Jesus, in some translations, depending on the translation you have, says, do not touch me. I don't know why it says it that way, but in the New Living Translation, do not cling to me. I'm not sure why it says do not touch me, and I'm not for certain, you know, if Jesus could be touched and could not be touched, but we do know a little bit later on in this same chapter when Thomas comes to him, and we know Thomas is what? Doubting Thomas. And what does Jesus say? Put your finger through the holes. So I don't know why it would have been translated that way, but nonetheless, it is. And so, but Jesus says, do not cling to me. And Mary is just so excited to see Jesus that she gives him a big old bear hug and didn't want to let go. I'm pretty sure she felt like, I'm going to hold on and never lose you again. And Jesus says, don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go find my brothers and tell them. Tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. Then she gave them his message. You know, so many times we find ourselves in the presence of Jesus and we don't recognize him. Let us not be that person who finds themselves in the presence of Jesus and not recognize him. You see, Mary is the first person to see the resurrected Jesus. But she also becomes the first person to be the messenger of the resurrected Jesus. Now, this is a time when a woman's testimony isn't even accepted in the court of law. Not sure as to why Jesus would have chosen to use Mary Magdalene for this. Maybe, again, because he had cleansed her of 7 demons, as we read in Mark 16 and Luke chapter 8. But for whatever the reason, he chose Mary. And God loves you so much, and he has the power to do great things in each and every one of your lives. So regardless of what your past is, remember, it does not discount you from being used by Jesus. All you have to do is humbly come and ask for forgiveness. Also, let me say this about the resurrection. The resurrection is a receipt of the payment that Jesus offered on the cross. This payment was accepted by the Father. Jesus' work on the cross paid for our sins. His blood was shed so that we could be forgiven, so that we'd be cleansed of our sins. And what were one of the last words that Jesus uttered from the cross when he cried out, it is finished. It is finished. In the original language, it is tetelestai. And this is an accounting term that means paid in full. You see, Jesus paid the debt that we owed. He paid the debt for everyone since sin entered the world. He has paid all our past debts, our present debts, and our future debts. You see, the cross, that was a payment. The empty tomb, that is the receipt. He is risen. That's where you guys say, he is risen indeed. Let's rewind this and we'll cut this at final cut, guys. He is risen. Okay, this last part I want to share with you this morning, I didn't know how to fit it in because I didn't know if I was going to have enough time, but I've got a few more minutes before we have to leave. But we talked about John and Peter arriving at the tomb, stooping in and noticing the grave linens, the linens there. It also says that one that covered his head was neatly folded and set to the side. What they would have understood is this. Kings and masters, if they were at their table eating and they needed to depart from the table for whatever reason, would do the, one of two things. They would clean their hands, wipe their mouth, and throw the napkin on top of the table or on top of the food and walk away. This would indicate to the servants that he was done and that they could begin the process of cleaning up the table and picking up the mess and doing what you do. But if he stepped away from the table, folded up his napkin, and put it on the side, that indicated he was coming back. Jesus is coming back. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have your word and that we can read all this about what transpired 2,000 years ago. Father, what a glorious day today is as we celebrate the resurrection. But as we know, we should live resurrected lives each and every day. So, Father, as we exit this place, let us leave with a newfound fervor to want to be able to serve you. And as we sang earlier, let us leave with this joy that wants to tell people about our Jesus. And let us do that until you return. Father, we pray for traveling mercies for those who are visiting and those who are winter visitors that are going to be leaving in the next few days, as I spoke to a few of them today. And again, Father, just keep them safe until we come back again. And again, Father, may you just continue to bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. And we pray all things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for visiting. Find us at www.islandbaptistchurch.org.